27th chapter of the book of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 11. Verse number 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Let's pray. Father, once again today, we thank you for the scriptures, the word of God. Thank you for your wonderful love for us. Thank you for Jesus, our wonderful Savior. And Father, once again, we've come to the preaching time. And Lord, we want so much to uplift your Son and glorify his name. Father, that's our desire. And Father, I pray this morning you'll take this preacher. You know what his needs are. And just using Father in a way that would honor you. And Lord, help us, give us wisdom, give us power to preach thy word. And Father, help us, each one of us, to have open hearts that will listen to the message and let it do what needs to be done in our hearts today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning from verse number 22, the question that was asked by Pilate. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's quite a question. And we're going to try to look at that this morning. I don't think there's any other question that could be asked that's any more important. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? That's an important question. In fact, if Pilate would have answered that question rightly, he would have gained everything. He would have gained eternity. And because Pilate did not answer that question correctly in his own heart and in his own life, we know he lost everything that was worthwhile for time and eternity. But that's not just for Pilate. We know he asked that question somewhere around 2,000 years ago. What am I going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And we need to answer that question. And in fact, every individual upon the face of the earth is going to answer that question. Whether they think they are or not, you here this morning, you will answer that question one way or another. I know this, it's the right thing to do with Jesus is to receive him, to believe on him, to trust him as your personal Savior, to put your faith and trust in the Son of God. That's the right thing to do with Jesus. And my trust is, my hope is that that's what's happened to you. We're going to look at some things this morning. What happens when someone does the right thing with Jesus? That's our message this morning. And we trust you'll just be attentive and listen. There's nothing greater than the Word of God. There's nothing greater than God sending a message to us because he wants us to hear it. And he wants us to listen very closely to it, not be speaking to someone else or interrupting the message or anything, but just listening. to the message that God is sending us. Amen? And that's what we need to do. But first of all, if someone does something, does the right thing with Jesus, they'll receive forgiveness of sin. Oh, I want to tell you something. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing today to be forgiven. To just know that your sins are washed away. Over in Acts 10, the scripture says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Amen. See, believe upon his name, believe upon Christ, you'll receive remission or forgiveness of sin. That's a wonderful thing. You don't get that by works. I know this preacher said this many times, but I want you to know something. You can't work your way to heaven. I'm not for the work salvation group. You know why? Because they're again the Bible. You see, you don't get saved by your works. You don't get saved even by your prayers. No. You don't get saved by it. You don't get saved by quitting sinning. You don't get saved by those things. You get saved by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you want your sins forgiven and washed away, that's the way you're going to get that done. You see, if you're going to do the right thing with Jesus, if you'll do that, God says you'll get the forgiveness of your sin. David said over in Psalm 32, I probably told you this before, but I have to say it every time I mention Psalm 32. It's one of my favorite psalms. It just happens to be. It's just one of those portions of scripture that I love dearly. But David said over there, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Yes. Amen. I give the illustration a lot of times about my mama. She'd sit down and she'd fix dinner, you know, and a lot of times we'd have gravy. That'd fill you up. And we had a lot of gravy in our house. And it didn't make a difference. I like gravy. I still do today. I don't know what you do or not, but I like that old-fashioned gravy. Amen. Let's just go home and eat. But she would take that, you know, and we'd dip it around. Sometimes we'd get it all over the tablecloth and something, you know, and my mom would come along, spill something. And I know none of you kids ever spill anything at table, but she'd take a cloth and cover it all up, you know, and make it look so nice, you know, cover it up, and then afterwards we'd take it off the table and wash it. You know what where I'm getting at. Jesus covered our sins through what he was going to do for years and years and years. He was going to give really wash our sins away, and he did that. But the promise of his coming, these old sacrifices that they did was just kind of covering it all up, you see. But then Jesus come along and washed it, and just washed it clean. And because of that, we have forgiveness of sin. And as David said, blessed is that man. I want to tell you, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. It's a marvelous thing, you see. So if you'll do the right thing with Jesus, you get your sins forgiven. Amen? Sure you will. Not only that, if you do the right thing with Jesus, you'll have peace. There's a peace that passes all understanding. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Did you know that? You get your mind stayed on thee, upon the Son of God, you see. Why? Because he trusts in thee. You see, you put your faith in Christ, you got peace inside. You understand what this preacher's talking about? See, R.A. Torrey told a man one day, he was a rich man. He said he had everything that he wanted. Anything he wanted, he just went and got. R.A. Torrey told him, he said, there's one thing you don't have. He said, oh, no. He said, if I don't have it, I'll go get it. He said, no, you can't have it. He said, well, what is it? He said, it's peace. And the man stood there for a little bit, and he said, how did you know? Here's what he told him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Listen, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You say, I've got peace. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. No, you don't have it. You can say all you want, but you don't have it. See, when you do the right thing with Jesus, you put your faith and trust in him and accept him as your personal Savior. When you truly do that, not play around, not play games, but you truly put your faith, there's a peace that passes all understanding, comes into your heart. You can't explain it. Now, I didn't say there'd be peace in this world. The world will give you all kind of trouble. But there's a peace with God, between you and God. Why? Because you've put your faith and your trust in Christ. You've done the right thing with Jesus. You see, and when you do the right thing with Jesus, you've got peace between you and God. Amen? So I'm saying to you today, if you're not saved, you don't have that kind of peace. I can tell you that you don't, because the scripture says you don't. Amen. So you got to decide, do you have that kind of peace? Is there peace between you and God? You see, has there been a time truly when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven? You see, when you do the right thing with Jesus, you see, you receive peace. You receive forgiveness of sin, but you also receive peace. Not only that, when you do the right thing with Jesus, there's a joy in your life. Now, I just want to tell you something. A lot of people say, well, if I'm not happy all the time, I'm not joyful all the time, that means I'm not saved. No. There's a joy in just knowing that you're saved. There's just a joy. I can't explain it. The scripture says in 1 Peter, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, listen to this, believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, I don't know how to explain it all. All I know is that God puts a joy in your heart. No matter what happens in your life, there's just a joy inside here. It's a joy that God puts there. The world's not going to give you much joy. And there's going to be a lot of problems in this world and with other people and all kinds of things. But I want to tell you, when you do the right thing with Jesus, there's just a joy that is just there that God gives us. Understand that? You see, and I want to tell you something. You know, a person who just knows Jesus and may be in poverty is happier than someone who doesn't know him and has all the wealth of all the world. Some of you youngsters don't even remember this thing, but we used to have things which we called the poor farm. Literally did. Right outside of Fillmore, Indiana, probably 3 or 4 miles out of Fillmore, Indiana, there's a big old brick, great big brick building. They literally used to call that the poor house. That's what it was called. Now, it's not there anymore, but people who couldn't live anywhere else, they went to the poor house. Now, they don't do it like that anymore, but that's that building, and that building is still there. It's a beautiful structure. And it's still there, but they called it the poor house. But it wasn't a lady that lived there, but there was a lady who lived in a house like that, the poor house. And she said, can you imagine? Here I am living in the poor house, and if I die, I'll wake up in a mansion. Can you imagine that? Do you know that's true? You see, I don't care how poor you are down here. That's not what's important. You see, do the right thing with Jesus and you'll wake up in heaven. You'll wake up in a mansion, you see, in heaven. So just do the right thing with Jesus. You see, if you do the right thing with Jesus, I want you to turn to some scripture with me. John, the third chapter. Let's go over there. John, the third chapter. If you do the right thing with Jesus, imagine this, you'll receive eternal life. I mean, that's forever. Amen. Over in John 3:16, one of those sweet, beautiful verses, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You imagine when you do the right thing with Jesus, you get eternal life. There'll never be a time, my friend, that I will not exist. If you know Jesus, there'll never be a time when you don't exist. I know you say, well, that would be true for the unsaved too. That's not existence. I know they'll be around and they'll be there forever, but that's an eternal death. And they will spend an eternal death in hell forever and ever. But just think about it. If you do the right thing with Jesus, you'll live forever. There'll never be a time when you die. Look at verse 36 of chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What are you going to have if you know Jesus? Everlasting life. That's forever, folk. I know it's hard for us to understand that, but think about that. I mean, we're going to live forever. If you do the right thing with Jesus, we're going to live forever. Look at chapter 5 of John there. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When I read that verse of scripture, I like that so much because it says, I have it. He hath it. I don't have to wait to get it. I've got eternal life right now. Oh, no, not eternal life in this old body. I have eternal life. Right now, if you know Jesus, you have eternal life. That's forever.
Amen.
Amen. Just imagine, you do the right thing with Jesus, you see, you'll have eternal life. I like what, I think it was Billy Sunday said this, when he was preaching, he said, you know, he said, if a little old sparrow come down and took a grain of sand and carried it millions and millions of miles away over to another planet, and he said he just kept doing that till the earth was all gone. He moved all the earth, he said, clear up to that other planet. He said, when he was done, he said, it'd still be breakfast time in glory. Amen. And I kind of like that. Amen. That'd take a mighty long time. And he said, just be breakfast time in glory. Amen. See, that's what you get when you get eternal life forever and ever. A million years from now, we'll still be shouting victory as to the Lord we bow. No one will ever die. No heart will ever sigh. We'll just begin to live a million years from now. Amen. That's forever, folks. And that's what you get when you do the right thing with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You do the right thing with Him, you'll have everlasting life forever and ever and ever, you see. Don't make any difference, 10,000 years or whatever it is. It don't matter. In heaven, it just goes on forever. Now, don't you want to be a part of that? Do you want to take a chance of missing that? You don't want to miss that. You see, you want to do, and if you don't do the right thing with Jesus, you're going to miss it. No, you're going to miss it. See, there's just many people, not specifically maybe, but I just worry about folk. I worry about, they have no joy of salvation. They have no peace of God. It really concerns me. I mean, it really does. There's just no joy. Their heart is not toward God. All they think about is goofing off and just not caring about the things of God. I worry about folk like that. I think Jesus needs to come into their heart. I'm just going to tell you something. I've come a long way in my Christian growth. I really have. I've come a long way, and I got a long way to go. But I want to tell you something. I saw constant growth when I got saved. I saw constant growth. There was just a new desire in me. I can't explain it. I can't tell you why. All I know is God put a new desire in my heart. Madonna and I was living our life and just going on, and we got saved. And all at once, you know, we wanted to go to church. We wanted to love God. We wanted to read our Bibles. Did we do everything we should? Oh, no, no, no. But a desire was put in our heart that we just wanted to follow God. Why don't you have that? If you don't, why don't you? Why don't you have the peace of God? Why don't you have the joy of God? Isn't that a good question to ask? You see, when you do the right thing with Jesus, that comes with it. There's a lot of growing, bumping your knees and falling down and doing things, you know, that you shouldn't. But there's just something that God puts in you. I can't explain it. I've never had a time when I've said, God, I just don't want to be your child anymore. I just want to walk away from you. Never felt like that. So from the day I got saved, I just want to be God's child. Amen. And I was saying, in speaking about that, just think about it. When you get saved, you become a child of God. You do the right thing with Jesus, you become a child of God. I know what it was for many years to be a child of Walter and Lena Ross. That was my mom and daddy. My mom and dad, and I remember where we lived in a little four-room house. Now, they was nine children, but they wasn't all there at the same time. Thank God for that. We had a kitchen, we had a living room, we had two bedrooms. And we was just stacked in there like cordwood. I'm serious about that. Just little bedrooms. Those bedrooms probably wasn't over 10 by 10. That's the way we lived. Never knew that was bad. We just lived there. That's the way we lived. And my mom and daddy, they worked hard. They took care of us. They provided a home. They provided food for us. They gave us a bed to sleep in. There may have been three or four people in that bed, but they gave us a bed to sleep in. Amen. And, and my mama washed the clothes, and washed our clothes and kept us clean and made clothes for us and done all that. Daddy provided for us. Daddy went to work every day. He just went to work. He protected us, took care of us. I want to tell you, my daddy, he was a tough old character. No, I don't mean he was mean. You wouldn't mess around with his family. You wouldn't mess around with him, his family. He protected us, took care of us. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. So I know what it was to be a child of Walter and Lena Ross. But I want to tell you something. It's an amazing thing to even think of the prospects of what it's going to be in eternity to be a child of God. I really can't imagine it all. I know how nice it is now to be a child of God. But can you imagine walking on the streets of gold? Can you imagine drinking from the waters of life? Can you imagine just all that goes on in heaven and seeing all the beautiful things in heaven and being in heaven with Jesus Christ for the rest of your life and Jesus Christ being the light of the city? Don't need things like this. Don't need street lights and don't need any of those kind of things. Jesus is the light of that city. You imagine that? Can you imagine just being a child of God? You do the right thing with Jesus and you become a child of God Almighty. Well, you can't beat that, folks. You can't beat that, you see. My mom and daddy passed off, went off the scene. They're gone. My heavenly Father will never pass off the scene. You and I will pass off the scene, you see. But here I'm talking about. But in heaven, we'll never pass off the scene. It'll be forever, you see. And we become a wonderful child of God. I really can't imagine what it's all going to be like. I've tried to. I really do. I try to sometimes to think about heaven. And I think about what the Bible says about it, but I can't even imagine what heaven is going to be like. But I know it's going to be wonderful. Amen. And so because of that, you see, because of the shed blood of Christ, you can do the right thing with Jesus. You're justified from all sins. I mean, we talked about forgiven, but I mean, you're justified. You are made as though you've never sinned. Whew, that's hard to understand. We old sinful bodies, we old sinful things we do. And when Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary, he made us as though we've never sinned. He just washed it all away. That's a marvelous thing. That's a wonderful thing, you see. And one preacher said this. He said, you know, God has cast our sins in the depth of the sea, and he put up a no fishing sign. Amen. Can't go fishing for him. I don't want him anyway, but you can't go fishing for him because he's not going to hold him against us. Wonderful God. Amen. It's justified from all sins, you see. And not only that, one day we'll be like him. Again, I can't imagine all this. No, we won't be the Godhead. We won't be all that, but we will be likened unto him. We'll be eternal. We'll be sinless. We'll actually be the very heirs of God Almighty. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's wonderful. You see, and we will be like Jesus. How are you going to do that? Well, if you do the right thing with Jesus. Do the right thing with him. You'll be heirs of God, you see. You'll be justified, and you'll be just like him, the Bible says. Amen? So what is the right thing to do with Jesus? The right thing to do with Jesus is to accept him as your personal Savior. To accept him, to believe upon him. You see, he is our substitute. He went to the cross for your sin and my sin. He went there to die and to shed his blood for us. He didn't do that for himself. He did it for us. He's our substitute. Amen. You do the right thing with Jesus. Well, if you do, you're going to accept him. You're going to believe in him. You're going to receive him as your personal Savior. The Bible says in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. God done that. Jesus done that. You understand? And if you accept him as your personal Savior, he's already paid the ransom cost. He's already done it. Amen? So we just need to do the right thing with Jesus. Let me say also, if you're going to do the right thing with Jesus, you're going to confess him openly. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to read a verse of scripture to you from the Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 32nd and 33rd verse. Listen to what it says. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Did you hear that? Confess me before men.
Him I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Do you understand that the right thing to do with Jesus is, if you get saved, is confess him before men? See, this old stuff, and I don't understand it all. But I want to tell you something. When we get saved, we are to confess him before men. I want to ask you a question right now. Has there ever been a time when you either walked in front of a church or walked in front of other people and talked about Jesus and confessed the fact that he is the Son of God, he's the Lord of all, and that you have received him as your personal Savior? Or are you ashamed to stand and tell people that you're a Christian, that you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Jesus says if you are, he'll be ashamed of you. Now, this old stuff of saying I'm a secret disciple is a bunch of baloney. You know what I would do today in all seriousness? What I would do today in all seriousness, if I've never ever stood before a church or before people and said, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm God's child, and I accepted Jesus Christ my personal, I would walk up this aisle today and I would talk to the congregation and I would say, I'm a child of God. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's where my faith, my trust is. I would do that. You say, that's hard. Doesn't make a difference in what's hard. God says you're confessing before men. We went over to a sweet wedding, as I was talking about Josh and Mercy's wedding, you know, and it was a funny thing. When they got married and they went over to the receiving line, Joshua didn't go outside and stand outside, and Mercy stand down inside. And not together, and we'd have to go out and shake hands with Josh and then walk in here and shake hands with Mark. It was a funny thing. They just stood together. It just seemed like to me that Josh was kind of proud that Mercy was his wife. Just seemed like to me that. I mean, the way he was acting, it's kind of silly, you know. He was just grinning all over himself and proud as a peacock. Well, sure he was. You know why? That's his wife. How do you feel about your wife? I mean, I'm just thankful about my wife. I introduced to people. I said, this is Donna, my wife. I don't try to keep that a secret. Now, why in the world would someone get saved, ask Jesus Christ to save them, and not even want to tell people about it? That don't get it. Something wrong. Something wrong. I'm thankful that Jesus saved my soul. I know I'm a preacher. But he wasn't just talking to preachers here. He said, we're to confess before men. Now, are you ashamed to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you ashamed to let people know you're a Christian, you're born again? I'm not talking about just Christian folk. I'm talking about, are you ashamed to tell people, no matter where you're at, that you're a Christian? You understand what I'm saying? God said we're to do that. Amen. We're not to be ashamed of the Son of God. You see, we're to confess him. So if you do the right thing with Jesus, you'll accept him as your personal Savior, and then you'll confess him before men. Amen. And then what should we do? Well, we ought to tell other people about him. I like that story over in Mark 5 about the maniac. He used to be a maniac, running all through the tombs and carrying on, cutting himself and all kinds of things. But he came to see Jesus, and when he came to Jesus, he was clothed in his right mind. He was naked. You know what he did? He went and put on clothes. You know why Christians today are running around naked? They need salvation. They come to Jesus. They'll come to Jesus. They'll put on some clothes. They want to show themselves. You come to Jesus, they get on some clothes, and the Bible says they're in their right mind. Folk just need to get saved, showing all the skin. Shame on them. But you do right. You come to Jesus, and you know what? Here's what he said. He was told to do it. He wanted to go with Jesus, but here's what he said. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. He wanted to go with Jesus. He said, no, you go home. You tell the great things that Jesus has done for you. And here's what it says. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. See, the thing to do is when you get saved, you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you confess him before men. And you tell other people. You let other people know that you're saved and what God has done for you. And they said, the Bible says that all men marveled. marveled at it. Amen. So I'm asking you today, what choice will you make? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? It's the greatest question that I think that you need to answer this morning. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What have you done with him? Have there been a time when you put your faith, your trust truly in him? I'm not talking about playing games. I'm talking about being born again. Amen. Truly putting your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you done that? If not, you'll face an eternity without him. You can't be where Jesus is at. Trust in Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed of him. Didn't say you was everything you ought to be, but I said you're not ashamed of him. Your faith, your trust for salvation is in the Son of God, the one who died on the cross for your sins. And that's the only place it is. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I trust today you'll take this simple message and just use it for your glory. I pray today, God, I believe I was supposed to preach this. I believe I said what I was supposed to say. And it's up to you, Father, to work on hearts, and it's up to the hearts to yield to you. You're drawing them, you're working with them, but Lord, you yourself, being God, will not make them receive you. I pray that they'll have a willingness in their heart. I pray if there's some here that really believe they're saved and they just never had the courage to stand forth and say, I'm a child of God. I put my faith and trust in Christ. This morning they will do that. They'll just come forward and let it be known that I'm saved. I'm God's child. Whatever the need here is today, God, I pray that you'll just meet it and help us to do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.